The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
This morning, our scripture reading comes from the book of Joshua, chapter 3, and it's being read in the ESV version. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And as for you, command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant. When you come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan." And Joshua said to the people of Israel, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God." And Joshua said, "Here is how you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is passing over before you into the Jordan. Now therefore take 12 men from the tribes of Israel, from each tribe a man. And when the soles of the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing. And the waters coming down from above shall stand in one heap." So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as soon as those bearing the Ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were dipped in the brink of the water, now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest, the waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan. And those flowing down toward the Sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off, and the people passed over opposite Jericho. Now the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel was passing over on dry ground until all the nation finished passing over the Jordan.
You've just heard the story of the crossing of the Jordan River. But I actually want to start back with another crossing. One of the best known stories in the Old Testament is the parting of the Red Sea. When the descendants of Abraham, that is the people of Israel, had been in slavery in Egypt for 400 years. And they had been set free. And they were very happily making their way towards the promised land. Until they looked behind them and saw the Egyptian army pursuing them, coming towards them. Could you imagine their fear as they looked and saw what was behind them, and then they looked and saw what was in front of them, the impenetrable Red Sea? And that might have caused them to fear, but it was no surprise to God. And so the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on." Now, if you were the Israelites, you'd go, "Move where? There's an army behind me. There's a big Red Sea in front of me. Where do we go?" So the Lord spoke to Moses, "Raise your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground." And the Lord gave very specific instructions to Moses about what to do and what would happen. To raise up his staff, stretch out his hand over the sea, that would cause the water to divide, And as a consequence of that, it meant the Israelites would be able to go through the sea on dry ground. And so Moses heard what the Lord said to him. Having heard, he obeyed. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And all that night, the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind. And it turned into dry land. The waters were divided. And the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. Moses had lifted his staff. He'd put his hand out over the sea. The wind came. Dry land formed in front of them. And all of the Israelites went through. It truly was a miracle of God, wasn't it? Do you know right now you are sitting in a miracle? You're sitting in a miracle of God. This building is a miracle built in response to a promise from God. For those of you who have heard this story because you're part of it, reminisce. Those of you who haven't heard the story, I want to share part of it as a testimony this morning. So I want to start 25 years ago in early 2000 when people across the church started praying for the vision and location of a new church building. And over the next months as people prayed, that vision became clearer. And then on the 17th of October 2000, our then senior pastor Herman Riders, who's here this morning, give us a wave, Herman. He preached here just before Easter for us. He received a prophetic word that Rangeville would undertake a building program and that we'd move into a new ministry complex debt-free. Now, seeing that fulfilled wasn't necessarily going to be easy or straightforward. We needed to rely completely on God to do a miracle or a series of miracles. So I'm going to pick up in February 2004. Rangeville Community Church commenced. And then in March 2005, we were provided with the opportunity to purchase this land, 12 and a half acres, with a commercial valuation of $3.14 million. The challenge is that we only had $600,000 in the bank. However, after a men's retreat, which turned into a significant time of prayer, and then an evening prayer meeting, a donor came forward anonymously, gave $2.6 million. So if you do your sums, $600,000 plus $2.6 million is $3.2. We were able to pay cash for this block of land in a very short space of time. Amazing miracle, isn't it? God's provision. And that was the first of a series of miracles. The following year, September 2005, we commenced a phase called Growing Our Destiny. And that led to finances being raised that allowed the necessary approvals for the land to be rezoned as a place of worship. And to sign a contract with a local architectural company, Struxy, who did the design for this building. And I believe the best way to describe this journey is one of stepping out in faith. It wasn't an easy journey. Over the course of time, we'd spent 16 months worshipping at and together with the Christian Outreach Centre. We'd spent a year worshipping at the Martin Luther Primary School. We'd spent a year worshipping at the Cathedral Centre. We spent 4 years at Rumours International. Sometimes we were downstairs. Sometimes we were upstairs in the former nightclub. And those of you who can remember that still probably remember the smell of stale beer in the carpet. And so we had to renegotiate a development approval with the Toowoomba Regional Council. We still didn't have all the necessary funds. But we continued to believe that this was God's vision. It was God's idea. And so he would provide the necessary funds. And so our journey of stepping out in faith was to design the ministry complex. Our development approval came through in early 2009. And then after further prayer, we believed that we were to proceed to detailed design. And as we did this, further finances came in. Some significant large donations were given to the building fund. And so we believed the Lord was saying, take another step of faith. The next step of faith was to go to tender. And so we went to a competitive tender process. We had three prospective builders. We said to them, would you like to tender in this process? But we want to be up front. We still are $1.7 million short. And all three said, yes, we want a tender. And so he said to them, well, we're only going to proceed when we have all the money because we believe we're meant to build debt free. So once we tendered and interviewed the builders, we chose our preferred builder. But we still had the issue. We're still $1.7 million short. But there was a need to divert a sewer line because it would have gone through right about here under the middle of the building. And so it had to be shifted, and so it needed to be diverted from what is now the oval to down there. And so we did a side agreement to get that work commenced. But before that was to be commenced, we wanted to have a special service where we would turn the first sod for construction. Who was here for that special day? Put your hand up. Yeah, wonderful. It's beautiful to see. What you might know is it's 15 years ago this weekend. Today's the 15th anniversary of that day. It was actually the 25th of April 2010. And so on that day, we had said to our church family, we are not going to have a dignitary come with a shovel and turn the first sod. We're family. We're a community church. Everyone bring a shovel. And so everyone brought a shovel. And on that day, on the count of three, we all turned the first sod together. And it was really special and really beautiful. The next day, on the Monday morning, the machinery arrived and they started trenching to dig ready for that sewer line diversion. And very shortly after that, we got a call to say there had been an anonymous donation of $1.7 million. All the funds were there. All the funds that were required for us to be ready to sign a contract to be able to build had been provided. Miracle after miracle after miracle. And so the building then started to be built. Construction took several months. And on the 26th of March 2011, the building certifier came in and walked through all the building and signed it off that night. I remember getting the email saying it's confirmed, which was just as well because several hours later we'd planned our first service. And so we had that on the 27th of March 2011. God's prophetic word to us was that we'd buy land, build a building, and it would be done debt free. It was fulfilled. That first Sunday, who was here? Yeah, again, quite a number of people. Do you remember the sense of joy? The rejoicing, the celebration that was taking place. If we go back to the story of the Israelites crossing the Red Sea, they rejoiced. They rejoiced in a way that there were some who were dancing, there were others who were singing. They composed a song specially for it. And we find that song in Exodus chapter 15. It includes these words. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. So it's saying there that God would guide his people to your holy dwelling. Well, what is that holy dwelling? Well, the biblical scholars aren't quite sure. It could be referring to the promised land, or it could be referring to the temple that would be built in the promised land. Whichever it is, it didn't yet exist for the people of Israel. But for them, what is significant is that even before it became a reality, the verse was written as though it had already been achieved. Who here likes grammar? Oh, there's a few of you that are owning up. Some people love grammar, you know, past tense, present perfect tense, all of these different things. This morning, I've got one that maybe you've never heard of before. This verse is written in what biblical scholars call prophetic perfect tense. Who's ever heard of that before? Oh, no one. This is the prophetic perfect tense. It's called prophetic because the prophet wrote it as though he was already seeing it. He'd received a vision from God, and he was writing this verse as though he could already see it. He's reporting what he's seen in a vision, and the listeners have not yet seen it, but they're believing in it because of the vision. Prophetic, perfect tense. They believe in it, and they know they'll enter into it. And so when we get down to verse 17, it says, you will bring them in, you being God, you will bring them in and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance, the place, Lord, you made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, Lord, your hands established. In other words, the Lord would bring them into the prophetic reality of the vision. That vision would become a reality. It would be fulfilled. God would bring them into their inheritance. He would plant them where he intended. And so their response to hearing of this prophetic, perfect vision that was before them, their understanding that it would be God who would bring them into it, meant their response was to rejoice, to sing, "The Lord reigns forever and ever." In other words, this was about the kingdom of God, God reigning over the kingdom of God. This was about the glory of God. This is about God receiving the glory for what he had done. God had done a miracle to take them on their journey towards the promised land. And he had done something incredible. He'd prophetically declared that they would enter into this promised place that he would bring them to, where he would plant them. Now the reality is there's still a journey that they had to go on. There was still a journey that sat before them, because they'd be wandering in the wilderness for what turned out to be 40 years until it was time for them to take the next step to enter into the prophesied promised land. When God gave Rangeville a prophetic picture of this building, it was actually much larger than what's been built. We always believed that we were to build a building that in total would have capacity for 1,500 people. If you're thinking, how's that going to happen? Come this afternoon after the barbecue to the AGM. Because we're actually going to talk through the pictures of what God's given us for the next 5 years, as well as what that building would look like and how we think God is taking us forward into that. We've built what's called, we called stage one. And we know this is not the completion of the picture God's given us. It's as though there'd been a significant crossing into God's plan, but there is another crossing that is to come before we truly enter into that prophetic perfect, that fulfillment of God's prophetic picture. God provided the land to purchase. God provided the finances to be able to purchase the land and build what we are currently in. But it's not yet complete. And we believe that prophetic, perfect picture that God's given is still to come into fruition. And so there's another stage to be completed, and we believe it's also to be done debt-free, because that's part of the original vision and picture God's given us. Now that seems to be a big challenge. But let's go back to the journey of Israelites, because they had a big challenge, a huge challenge facing them. Because now, between where they were and the promised land was a river. And the problem was that river was in full flood. In fact, the water had overflowed the banks of the river. It was impassable. Now, there was a new generation of Israelites, a new generation that had been born since the crossing of the Red Sea. There were those who were about to cross the Jordan River. They hadn't been there at the crossing of the Red Sea, but they'd heard the stories. The stories had been told again and again of God's provision of to get them to the promised land. And it had built faith. It had built faith in the Israelites that God had done a miracle before, God could do it again. And so they came with expectations. God's word will be fulfilled. God's promises will be fulfilled. Now, they didn't have Moses with them, but they had his successor, Joshua. And God's miracle would happen this time in a very different way. See, last time Moses was commanded to hold up his staff, to put his hand out over the sea, a great wind would blow and the sea would part. This time Joshua didn't hold up a staff. He didn't put his hand out. In fact, he wasn't the focus. He spoke to the priests, and the priests and the presence of God became the focus. Because you see, when they were in the desert, the Lord had called Aaron and his sons to be commissioned as priests. The Lord had given instructions to make the Ark of the Covenant, which is a symbol of God's presence with them. And so this time, when the Israelites came to the flooded river, the Lord said to Joshua, "And as for you, command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, when you come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan." So they're going to stand still in the Jordan. There's no indication that the water's going to stop. There's no indication the water's going to recede. There's nothing other than a commandment to stand still in the river. Did that mean there'd be flood water rushing down, buffeting them? Did that mean that maybe God was going to do what he did last time and send a mighty wind and it was going to blow and it was going to part the river? In which case they had to stand there holding this ark with the wind. What would happen? God was going to do something different to what he did last time. So Joshua told the Israelites a bit more detail. "And when the soles of the feet of the priests bearing the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, and the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from above shall stand in one heap." I find that fascinating. The soles of the feet of the priests bearing the ark would walk up to the edge of the flooded river, and then they shall rest in the waters of the Jordan. They wouldn't strain against floodwaters. They wouldn't strain against the strong wind buffeting them. They would rest in the waters of the Jordan. The people knew God's presence was with them. The priests were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, the evidence of God's presence with them. And if God was with them, all would be well. And it was. Because what we now read in verse 17, "Now the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all Israel was passing over on dry ground until all the nation finished passing over the Jordan." God did another miracle. He did another miracle that all of the people would cross over the Jordan. But it was a very different miracle to the previous one. This involved the priests standing in the river, resting there, trusting that God would dry up the river and provide the means for them to cross through on dry land on their way to the promised land. We read then in Joshua chapter 4 from verse 1. "When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, 'Take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, Take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priests' feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight.'" When the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, they'd celebrated with songs and dancing. This time it would be different. When they crossed the Jordan River, they would have built a monument. They'd take 12 stones and build a monument. They'd take the rocks and lay them down. The Hebrew word there for lay them down is rest. It's exactly the same word as when the priests' feet rested in the river. And so what we see here is the Lord saying, "I want these 12 men to each go in and get a rock from the place where the feet of the priests rested in the river, where the presence of God was, and then take them from that place of rest, carry them out and rest them together in a monument where people in the future would ask the question, why? What does this mean? See, God intended that that monument would be evidence it wasn't man's efforts that allowed them to cross the river. It was their rest in God. They had to rest in the Lord. They needed to see the presence of the Lord go before them and lead the way. And the presence of God would lead to the provision of God for the purposes of God. Presence, provision, purpose. When the first stage of this building was constructed, God provided the finances in a particular way. As we appealed to God, believing that as we'd done our part, God would do his. We're in a different season, and we face a significant financial cost. You'll hear about that this afternoon. But we believe God is saying, have faith in him. We do our part, and we trust in God to do his part. And it may be different to last time, but what matters is what we see in the last part of Joshua chapter 4. And those 12 stones, which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. And he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know, Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea. For he dried up for us until we passed over. So that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. As the elders have spent time in prayer, preparing for what we see as the next stage, as we see what God is leading us to and showing us, we believe the next stage of the building is not primarily because we need the space. We do. We need the space. There are 3 days a week where pretty well every room in this building is now at capacity. And I'll show that again this afternoon. That's exciting. It's exciting when you've got a problem, when you run out of room, right? But that's not the primary reason for building. We would pray that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord is mighty. It's our prayer that it's about God being glorified. That God would be glorified through what he wants to do. The primary purpose of the next stage, the fulfillment of the prophetic word, the prophetic perfect, is that God would be glorified and that his kingdom would be released, that there'd be an extension of his kingdom, that God would take and use the facilities and his people of this church to do what God wants to do for his glory and the extension of his kingdom. And so let's stop now and say, God, what would you say to me today? And what will I do with that? What will I do with what you are saying? Heavenly Father God, we give you thanks for the miracle of what you did when you led your people from Egypt through the Red Sea. And the way that you did something that was spectacular, and that the people praised you acknowledging that you reign. Our Lord reigns. The God of the kingdom of God reigns. We thank you, Lord, that when you took your people through the River Jordan, there was a monument that was built that when people would say, what does it mean? They'd be able to declare the testimony of what God did to take his people into the prophetic promised land, the land that had been declared to be theirs. Heavenly Father God, we want to give you thanks for the miracles you've done in the life of this church, to provide the finances to buy the land and build this stage of the building. It truly has been a series of miracles. But Lord, we believe in the prophetic perfect. We believe in what is yet to come because it's part of the original vision. And therefore, Lord, we commit ourselves in faith to you, to what you would have for your way forward. That, Lord, the way that you will provide all that is needed for us to step into the fulfillment, that would come about, that we would hear you clearly. We'd be willing to step forward into all that is required. We pray, Lord, that your presence would go before us and that we would be in that place of rest, that we would rest in you, knowing it's not in our strength, but in you, and resting in you alone. Shall we see your provision for your purposes, because your presence goes before us. So, Father, we thank you. We commit ourselves to you for your glory, for the extension of your kingdom. We ask and pray it in Jesus' mighty and wonderful name. Amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07 46 36 11 44, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.